Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, December 2nd, 2015. And with me today, I have Kelly Goumont. I hope you're doing well, Kelly.
I am, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing great. And it's awesome to have you here. And John Martellaro, how are you?
Good morning, Jeff. I'm doing great.
Excellent. That's exactly as it should be. And just to be clear, I don't have to do any special edits on the show today. Right, John?
Absolutely.
Anyhow.
Jeff's never going to let me forget this, by the way. So look forward to more of these.
You just like adding in extra work for me.
It's the spice of life, yes.
Huh. The spice of life. And I always thought that was jalapeno. But what do I know? Anyhow, I'm assuming you guys are both aware that Sketch is no longer in the Mac App Store. Bohemian Coding decided that they're going to yank the app out.
Mm-hmm.
And so they did. And wow. So what they said was that they couldn't really justify leaving their app on the Mac App Store anymore because mm-hmm. they felt there were too many limitations. And the straw that broke this proverbial camel's back was the authentication license mm-hmm. issue thing that came up just recently, where apps that people had legitimately installed suddenly wouldn't work, and you're getting dialogue saying it's damaged, you have to mm-hmm. re-download from the App Store. And it was,
it's even more fun when those apps are no longer available in the App Store, and nobody knows that they have to go to purchased in order to actually get them downloaded again.
Right. So all this happened, and Bohemian Coding was like, "Oh, yeah, game over. We're out."
And don't you like Apple's choice of language? I mean, that's a standard dialog box, right? Damaged.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it couldn't be something useful like this app is no longer authenticated. You know, when you see the word damaged, you don't think, oh, my license has got a problem. You think, right. Oh, my disk is corrupted.
You know? Right. Yes. And
so that wasn't too helpful either.
With Tweetbot. Mm-hmm. And when I saw it, my first assumption was, how can my app be damaged? I was running it just a few minutes ago, and it was fine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I realized, oh, wait. I bet this is the authentication code.
Yeah, I hadn't seen it that day. You know, this kind of fits in with Friday's particle debris, where I was talking about how it's useful for Apple when they have pro devices like the iPad Pro to think about the needs of pro users and pro developers who need to make money, who need to connect with their customers a little more closely, who need to be able to provide test drives and paid upgrades. And, you know, the App Store was kind of designed for, you know, $1.99, you know, toy software. And, you know, so Apple has these professional tools, but this experience from Bohemian, you would think maybe, you know, it was just a one-off thing. Well, you know, it doesn't work for us, but it really does kind of punctuate the situation that professional developers who want to bring out the best in any given machine really do face some problems sometimes. And it raises the question about whether maybe there should be a pro version of the App Store and the Mac App Store.
Well, we see this constantly. I mean, like, for example, Text Expander is no longer available in the App Store because it's not allowed to work within the constraints of what the App Store is allowed to sell you. So it's still a thing. Mm-hmm. But you can't buy it from the App Store anymore. And honestly, that's not a bad thing, and I'll tell you why. Because if you run into a bug and you need to release a patch, you know, an updated version that fixes something where maybe something crashes for a lot of people, or it's doing something where it says it's damaged when it's not really damaged, you can get that update out instantly to everyone who needs it. All they have to, you know, if they write in, you can go, download the new version from our site. And all it takes is refreshing a web page in order to make that happen. And yeah.
Well, John Chaffee complained to me about this chapter and verse when I did my interview with him.
Yeah. And we've seen what happens to people who try to work around these sort of limitations in the App Store. We've seen OmniFocus. Was it OmniFocus that went to the upgrade key and got OmniGroup anyway with OmniGroup. One of their apps?
Yes,
got OmniGroup. Slapped down hard for it.
Yes, I remember that.
And yeah.
Yeah, I remember when BB Edit left the App Store.
Yeah, and it's not because it's a bad app. It's not because it's going to do something untoward to your computer. Like, and that's the thing, is that it's a, you know, BB Edit is a totally legitimate text editing utility. It's amazing. I absolutely love it.
I use it every day.
Yeah, I use it constantly.
Same here. Right, every article with it.
Yeah, so BB Edit, not yet a sponsor. so these are the kind of things that I find really frustrating, because most people's reaction is going to be to go to the App Store, and it's going to be like, oh, hey. And that's going to be the only place they're going to look, because they're people, particularly who are new to the Mac platform, which is so many people anymore, they're trained to the App Store because the halo effect works. The only way that you can put things on your phone is through Apple's App Store. So when you get an iPhone and you get really familiar with it, and then later when it's time to get a new computer, you buy a Mac, you just assume, Apple gave me an App Store, that's the only stuff I can put on here. And
that and it makes for a nice centralized location to go and find the types of apps that you may need.
Right.
And it offers a very easy to use mechanism for installing updates and patches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, the other side of that is getting those updates and patches actually out to users,
mm-hmm.
because they have to go through Apple's approval process.
And I'm not knocking the approval process.
No, I'm not knocking.
But one of the things that gets called out, I mean, every one of us has written that story and posted it on Mac Observer about how somebody did something and someone all of a sudden discovered a feature they added four versions ago and goes, you can't put this in the App Store anymore, and they get rejected. Every one of us has written more than our share of rejected App Store stories for Mac Observer.
You know, the initial allure of the Mac App Store, and I have the developers tell me in the past that it's been a success for them financially, because they're more likely to be noticed, to be in the face, if the casual user mm-hmm. thinks that, you know, this is the place to buy your apps, and they go
right.
searching for it, they're going to find it really easy by doing a search.
Right.
And it's going to be a very low friction process to buy it. As
That's
opposed
true.
To, you know, going to a website, you know, downloading it, getting an email, giving them a credit card number, and uh-huh. getting a license in the mail, and authenticating, and all that stuff. So, you know, it's a really complex situation, and Apple's kind of caught in the middle. And
but I feel like here's the thing: is that the people who are complaining about the App Store are, at least in general, what I have found, the people who have these sort of calm, clear-headed, legitimate gripes about the App Store. They are people who are sad to leave it, and they are the first people who would give Apple a pass if anything changed at all, and even made a motion they were trying to improve things for the better. So if there was anything that made it so that, you know, like people have sort of worked around the paid upgrade thing by having a bundle that includes the old version and the new version, so you just pay the difference
mm-hmm.
to get the new version.
Which is clever.
Right. And I can't believe that hasn't been smacked down yet, quite honestly. But when you talk to people, you know, if Apple were to allow for some sort of in-app purchase that upgraded you, then people would, you know, maybe that's the kind of thing that would make Sketch come back to the App Store. Or maybe if Apple was trying to make any sort of overture to developers about, like, what do you want to see? How can we make this better? Or taking customer feedback and implementing that into other things. Like, that would be, I think, something that would really cause a lot of people to remain in the App Store and continue parallel development, because you have to have two different versions of your app, basically, if you're selling it direct and selling it on the App Store.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a lot of people would find it worthwhile because of, you know, even though we all talk about how bad discovery sucks on the App Store, if people are only looking one place, it sort of behooves you to be there. So I really want that to be, I think the people who would be the most willing to cut Apple the most slack are the people who are getting hurt by this. And like, if you're at the point where you have people like Sketch who have thrown up their hands in frustration at the App Store and the and that it's not a good experience and that there's nothing for them there anymore, I really feel like this is something that Apple should be paying a lot more attention to than it seems like they are. Because remember, we don't know. All we know is that, you know, one day we're going to wake up and come into work with quotes because we're all in different places. But we're going to come in and we're going to sit down and go, all of a sudden, the App Store is completely different. Like, we don't know.
No, we don't know. But this is, I would at this point say this is a systemic problem.
Because, oh, it's absolutely a systemic problem.
Because the Mac App Store ought to be the best place to go to find all the apps that we need for our Macs.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it seems to be instead this place that is, let's go with antagonistic towards developers. I don't think Apple is intentionally being that way towards developers, but this is the way the App Store is and has been for several years. And we haven't seen any changes. It doesn't mean that,
right,
like you said, Kelly, tomorrow morning we sit down at our computers and the Mac App Store has been completely revamped.
But the likelihood of that to me is slim only because they have rolled out the same suboptimal experience to the new Apple TV. I was really hoping that when the Apple TV got a revamp and got the App Store, that maybe we would see something a little different. And we don't. And it makes me sad because when I look at things, I've done software support and hardware support in various forms for longer than I'm really emotionally prepared to admit. And as a result, because all of my family knows that I'm support, they call me. And it hurts my feelings to not have a good answer when they go, I looked and looked and looked for this app, for an app that will do this thing on my computer, and I can't find one. What do I do? Or, do you know any, you know, do you know anything about a fun, this kind of game on the Apple TV? And I'm like, no, because I can't really find any of that stuff easily, you know. And then the App Store problem is only highlighted by the fact that you can't actually keyboard with an actual keyboard on the Apple TV. So you have to find everything using the Siri remote and pray that you don't drop it and shatter the top. So it just get like, it makes me sad that I have to be the one to tell people like, no, this is really what Apple does, you know. And then after all the time that people have been listening to me tell them how much better my Apple computer is and how much better my Apple phone is, you know, they're like, you've told me all this time that your stuff just works. And like, this doesn't just work.
Well, you know, Kelly, there's another aspect to it I was thinking about while you were explaining that. And that is, remember in the staff meeting we were talking this morning about how Apple likes to present the conceit that everything is pretty easy and
yeah,
things just work. And in fact, we make a living explaining all the details, dotting the I's, crossing the T's, and explaining all these little nuances that are part of your computing life. And one of the parts of your computing life, I think, is making considered judgments about what apps you consider essential and are core and what apps you're willing to go directly to the developer for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are certain key apps I use for my workflow, like Graphic Converter and BB Edit. And I'm more than willing to, you know, keep a database or whatever it takes, create a relationship with a developer, give them my credit card number, it's my go-to app, you know, and buy it independently. And stuff that's available in the Mac App Store is sort of toy software, things I experiment with, non-mission critical stuff. So a considered judgment about how you're going to construct your computing life is going to be helpful, I think, in resolving part of this. And a lot of people may not think about that.
Yeah, well, and for me, I'm looking at a lot of the apps that I have from the Mac App Store. And they're like serious tools that I use all the time. I have OmniGraffle, I have OmniFocus, I have OmniOutliner. Yeah, I'm a big OmniGroup fan. I have Fantastical. And,
oh, Fantastical.
Yeah, and there are other apps that I have that I use all the time, I rely on all the time, that came from the Mac App Store. And at this point, I'm starting to wonder how long before I start getting emails from other companies saying, yeah, here's the process to convert your Mac App Store license into mm-hmm. one of our standalone licenses because we're not going to be there anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's the thing that Smile Software has had to do for a lot of people who want to upgrade from the version that was in the App Store. Because that was version 3. Version 5 is out now.
You can't have pro-level products without pro-level application support and purchasing, right?
Right.
Right. Which is why my copies of Text Expander
is why they're all direct.
Yeah, came right from Smile, and mm-hmm. and I have several other apps that have come from outside the Mac App Store now too. I would love to keep talking about this, but I have another topic that I want us to hit today too.
Oh, is it darn. That Verizon is giving away Google Cardboard Star Warses?
Yeah, the most important story of the day. So how does this work? If you are a Verizon customer
and you roll into a Verizon store,
they will give you a Google Cardboard kit that is Star Wars The Force Awakens themed.
Uh-huh.
And if you don't know what Google Cardboard is, it's this cool little idea that Google came up with to allow everyone to be able to have a VR experience, meaning virtual reality or augmented reality experience, mm-hmm. with their smartphone without having to spend a lot of money. So it's this cardboard origami fold up thing that you stick your smartphone into.
Your $600 smartphone.
It's now, to be fair, I've played with a few models of this, and they're all sort of. They all sort of refer to Google Cardboard, but some of them aren't made of cardboard. They're made of that sort of thin plastic. All right. of them have a good buckling mechanism for your phone. And your phone is not usually flat against any of the sides. So even if you were to drop this little goggle thing, it's not like your phone is what hits the deck. So I would feel comfortable. Now, I would not feel comfortable putting this on a kid I've just filled full of coffee, but because, you know, sometimes that's fun holiday entertainment to give a kid a latte and then watch what happens. But not so that cruel. I'm endorsing that in any way. Don't try this at home.
Try it at a friend's home.
Try it at someone else's home. Exactly. So I've played with a few of them, and they sort of make it so that if the thing does drop, first of all, your phone doesn't come out, and second of all, your phone is not what takes the impact. So for the most part, because I've taken them and dropped them little distances to see like how far, like how solid they actually were. And I've never played with one that was sort of crummy. So if you go to Verizon and you are a Verizon customer, go to a Verizon store and you can get one of four different Google Cardboard themed Star Wars Google Cardboard headsets. They are BB-8, R2-D2, Kylo Ren, and a Stormtrooper. And you can pick these up. They are actual cardboard, it looks like. I can't really tell if they're plastic or not. It sort of looks papery on the inside. And the reason that you want to get one of these is because one of the things that they're doing is this thing called Jakku Spy. I think it's Jakku. You are a character and you are a resistance agent and you experience episodes of a story, like in series. So you download a free app and then the episodes download and you fire up the episode and you put it in the Google goggles and you put it on your face and you can like experience this story and like stuff happens. And they developed this in parallel and created it in parallel with the new film. So presumably you will get new episodes up until the day the film comes out, December 18th. So I'm not like excited about this or anything. So if you just go download the official Star Wars app, you'll see on the front page there's the thing called Jakku Spy, and that's the thing that you get to use to play with the VR. It's pretty awesome. I'm super excited about it. I already have someone on the case.
Cool. And I'm a little excited to be going to see the new movie. I'll actually be seeing it on the 19th, not the 18th, but that's okay because I tossed out the idea a while ago that if any of my podcast listeners wanted to buy me a ticket, that I'd go see the movie with them and I'd buy the drinks. And Rich Orman totally did that.
So, that's awesome.
Yes, I'm going to go see Star Wars.
But keep in mind, I can't talk to you for like 36 hours because I will see it way ahead of you.
Yes, I know.
Yes. Okay.
That's all right. That's all right.
Okay.
We'll just have to maintain radio silence for a little bit. So
we will have to.
Yeah. So anyhow, yeah, I'm all excited to go see the movie too.
And, me too.
And I think it's going to be even better because I get to hang out with podcast listeners.
Which is always amazing, as I can attest. The other thing I will point out is that I wrote up a thing. If you're not a super gaming person, there are still some fun Star Wars apps you can go check out in the App Store. And I wrote that up. We'll have a link to it in the show notes. And one of them is the official Star Wars app, which has some really fun stuff in it that you can check out. So I would recommend, if you are looking to kill some time between now and the 18th or the 19th, depending who you are.
Right.
These can be kind of fun if you've like already conquered Lego Star Wars and you've got 3 stars on every level in Lego Angry Birds or Star Wars Angry Birds and all these different ones, you know, all the games that you can regularly play, then yeah, you might want to check out some of the other stuff that I have found for you.
Yes, we'll make sure we have a link for that. And we are totally out of time, guys.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I hate to wrap up because there's always more stuff I'd love to talk about, but
oh, darn.
That's all right. It's still a fun show. It's always great to have both of you here. Kelly, thank you for being here today.
Of course, my pleasure. May the force be with you.
May the force be with you. And see, you can tell I'm not Catholic because of the way I respond.
I know. I always wonder how people are going to reply because if I get in also with you, that's you went to church too.
Patre ut filius et spiritus sanctis.
I feel more spiritual already. John, thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it's great to have both of you guys on the show just all the time. Listeners, thank you for joining me, and we'll see everyone again tomorrow.